Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Jessica Phillips. I'm playing Heidi Hansen in the national tour of Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes, and it's a thrill to talk to you. The show, of course, is at the Kennedy Center now through September 8th. We got to first talk about, it's a full circle homecoming for this show because I remember seeing it back, I think, what was it, like 2015 or something, over at Arena Stage. If our listeners don't know, it started here in D.C. at Arena and then made its way up to Broadway and won, you know, all the Tonys and won, you know, Best Musical. It became a nationwide success.
Yeah.
But talk about how sort of it's special that it started in D.C., went up there and conquered the Broadway world, and now is coming back here.
Yeah, it's a really incredible journey for a show like this one and everyone involved, and it's been pretty amazing to come back to DC or come to DC with it in this incarnation and meet all of the people who were here 4 years ago and watched it in its infancy and watched it grow and then watched it launch and head to New York and become such a success. It's really a dream come true for, you know, people who are mounting theatrical productions, and it happens to so few of them. So it's really special.
Have you had anyone come up so far, you know, in the couple days that you've been playing at the Kennedy Center so far, you know, after the show or you know, in the lobby or whatever, saying, hey, I saw it here when it was back in the first run? You know, have you gotten any feedback like
yes.
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Not so much at the stage door, but on opening night last Thursday, we had a gathering after the performance, and the room was full of people who were so incredibly moved because they were a part of the show when it was at Arena and either you know, sat in the audience and supported it or were in some way investors or, you know, financially supporting the show. And it was just really cool to be in that room and to talk to so many people who felt like they were a part of the success in some way. And proud, you know, proud to be there, proud to have been a part of it.
It's so awesome. All right. Well, let's, you and I we know what the story's about, but I think maybe we're taking for granted. Maybe not everyone hearing this knows anything about it. So let's, you know, take a, you know, step back real fast. And, why don't you give them sort of the premise, the little plot summary here, you know, like with the main characters and just the general premise without giving too much away, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. The show really focuses on, the title character, Evan Hansen, who is a high school student who is battling social anxiety. He is a kid who feels very much alone and is trying to manage his anxieties around social connections at school, friendships. And he finds himself caught up in something of a lie, a misunderstanding that snowballs, and he becomes sort of the center of attention via social media, and he has to navigate his way out of that situation. And what we're seeing on stage is how Evan relates to his peers and to his mom and to the family of another student at school. And we watch him over the course of the show have to navigate those relationships as they grow and change through this snowball effect. How'd we
do? Well done. Well, that was pretty darn good right there. All right. Who's playing our Evan? Because obviously Ben Platt was so iconic in that role, both in D.C. and then on Broadway. And I think he won a Tony. I think he's actually going to play it in a movie coming up, I think I heard. But who plays it here this time? Who plays your son?
So we have, for six of our eight shows, we have Ben Levi Roth. And Stephen Christopher Anthony is our alternate, so he plays two of the eight shows, and they're both spectacular actors. Obviously, Ben and I spend most of our time together, and he is incredibly moving. And that's really a testament to how beautifully constructed this material is. Ben Platt is iconic, and his performance, you know, he won all of the awards, and he's amazing. But Ben Ross is iconic in a different and new way, because he just has the material to allow him to really shine. And what you see in his performance is an incredible fragility, and you feel for him. You feel for him as he makes his way through all of these obstacles in the show, and you root for him to come clean, and you root for him to reveal himself to the people who love him most. And it's really a spectacular performance in and of itself.
That's awesome. And then as for your role, I think it was originated by Rachel Bay Jones. You played Evan's mother, Heidi Hansen.
Yeah.
Rachel,
uh-huh.
I think she also won the Tony. I mean,
she
so,
did, yeah.
you have a good template from which to start with. But I obviously you want to,
sure.
you know, make the role your own. How do you go about, you know, making it your own, applying a little to your own life experience to that, or, you know, or just in general, you know, what do you try to bring to that character to, you know, as the, you know, he's kind of a loner at the start, and then he's a loner that gets caught in a lie, but, you know, so you have a heavy load to carry as the mother.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, again, it's a testament to how terrific the material is that different actors can take on these characters and make them uniquely their own and make them so real. And, you know, it's also a credit to our creative team, to our an unbelievable director, Michael Greif, who really, you know, he put us in a room last August, those of us on the tour who were cast on the tour to originate this particular company, and encouraged us to you know, do what was unique to the skills that we were bringing to the table. And so it gave us all a lot of room to find ourselves in these characters. Obviously, you know, when you have iconic performances, no one's able to, you know, to copy those performances. You know, we're not able to replicate them, but thanks to, you know, terrific writing and support from Stephen Levinson, who wrote the book, and Benj Pasek and Justin Paul, who wrote the music and lyrics, and Michael Greif, who is helming the ship, you know, we were able to really find ourselves in these characters and make them uniquely our own. And we had the room to do that in a month-long rehearsal process in New York. And so we were able to not only find ourselves in these characters or find these characters in ourselves, but we were able to do that with each other. So we have this really special ensemble production. We have this, you know, we have a lot of trust in each other, and we've sort of found our relationships together, which is a real gift, actually.
That's awesome. And then you sort of mentioned it. I want to touch on Benj Pasek and Justin Paul. I mean, they went on to do, you know, Oscar-winning stuff for La La Land and The Greatest Show and so many iconic songs in movies. But they kind of got their start here doing these great songs for Dear Evan Hansen. So might us talk specifically to the songbook and the music numbers. Run through, what is it, Waving Through a Window is the one that always comes to my mind. But why don't you list a couple of, you know, maybe some of the standout, at least in your mind, which ones each night in and out, night in, night out, that you respond to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most people associate our show with two songs, You Will Be Found and Waving Through a Window, because they really speak to sort of the, you know, the foundation of what the message is. You know, Sincerely Me is a really incredible, upbeat, fun song to watch. It's probably my favorite song to listen to in the show. If I Could Tell Her is a beautiful love song between Evan and Zoe. And, you know, of course, my favorite is So Big, So Small, this is sort of the moment at the end of the play where Heidi and Evan, you know, sit together in stillness and they really connect for the first time. And that is a really poignant and moving moment, you know, both for the actors and for the audience.
I'm glad you mentioned that one, because that's obviously that's the one you get to jump in on, and that's just yeah. I mean, by the end, I remember the lights going out. It sort of ends with him singing his final line. I think there's like a teardrop comes down his face, and the lights go out, and I just remember the crowd just roaring to their feet at that point. So it ends on such a emotional moment. And I believe it was Alex Lacamoire that did the orchestrations, right? He just did In the Heights in Hamilton, and then he followed up with this. Wow, sure, talk about an all-star
in
there.
I know, incredible.
Talk about visually. I remember there's a lot of stuff, you know, with cell phones and, you know, social media and stuff. Talk about how that sort of affected visually.
Yeah, I mean, what's really amazing about the design of this piece is that it is minimalist in terms of the set. You know, we really are working with a stark stage, and a part of what is so effective about that is that it's set on a backdrop of this scrolling social media screen. So we have, you know, text threads, and we have Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of different social media platforms that are just constantly scrolling and flashing in a way that, you know, sets the scene for the story we're telling, which is that so much of our interaction at this point in life and in these characters' lives are about the sort of curated versions of ourselves that we see behind a window, a tap, tap, tapping on the window of this glass screen behind which we have versions of ourselves. They're two-dimensional versions of ourselves. They're filtered, right? And that these are not fully fleshed out versions of how we are in relationship with people. And so, you know, this is a part of what informs how we go through our lives at this point and how our teenagers are viewing themselves and each other and the comparisons that come up. And so the scenic design here and the projections of all of this sort of scrolling media is another character in our story.
Yes, I remember that being one of the things that really stood out to me the most. I loved how, I mean, every time we now, you know, you're going to leave the theater, and when you look at your own cell phone screen, you're going to view it as waving through a window. You know, you're going to see reminders in your own life, so it's going to be great.
Exactly.
Real quick, dish on your director, Michael Grieve. He's, man, Rent, Next to Normal, he's done it all. Tony's the whole nine.
Yeah.
Was he actually down here? Because I know this is a national tour. Does he travel with you, or does he sort of? Was that like he directed it on Broadway, and then there's someone else that travels with you, or how does that actually work? And just dish on, you know, what makes working with him so great.
Yeah. No, it's not typical for a director to travel with a production after it's mounted. I mean, he does come out and visit and check in, and we continue to get notes that sort of, you know, keep refining our performances. And certainly he has, you know, associates that are, you know, sort of a regular part of our refreshing of our performances. But Michael, I've had an opportunity to work with Michael on a couple of different projects. I worked with him on Next to Normal as well. And, you know, what's so incredible about Michael is that he is really invested in this storytelling. And to have a conversation with him about character choices and about intention in a scene, is is paramount to speaking with someone who has seen the show for the first time, because I will have a conversation with him and he will well up. He'll become emotional because he is so in tune with this storytelling and his vision for how these characters interact and the story that we're telling. And I've just never had that kind of experience with a director before. I think he is really incredibly special in terms of how connected he is to his projects, to this work. And it's a really, really special experience for me to, you know, to be a part of this production, sort of under his guidance.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. Just sort of in closing, take us out of here. Just final thoughts, like why, you know, why should our listeners come on out, you know, especially if they saw it when it started at Arena Stage, what makes it worth coming back this time now that it's, you know, acclaimed and famous? Or if you've never seen it at all and you heard the buzz, you know, why should they come on out?
I think that this show is just incredibly timely in terms of the story we're telling about the digital media age that we're in. And for me, I think what's special about this production is that it reaches everyone in the audience in a different way. You know, I've had people come up to me at the stage door, parents come up to me at the stage door who have confessed that they were there because they, you know, their teenagers begged them to come, and so they did, and they weren't expecting to see themselves reflected in the characters up on stage, and they weren't expecting to be so swept up. And I've had moms almost every time I come to the stage door, I've had moms start to cry unexpectedly in front of me, saying how thankful they were that they were there and how moved they were by seeing their own story up on stage, because I think this tells the story of many, many families, parents who are trying to parent teenagers in a digital age and figuring it out as we go along. It's a really universal kind of storytelling in terms of family relationships, and I think that's really special.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining us. This is great. Again, everybody, it's Dear Evan Hansen, the Tony-winning musical, best musical from a couple years ago, coming back to D.C. Now through September 8th at the Kennedy Center. So thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jason.